Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance off a Monday double dip. The Eagles may not have been pretty, but they were efficient. Joe Burrow guts it out of the Bengals, back in business. And the biggest company in the world just needs to be better. All that and more on the menu. Let's do this.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
Hurts of the gun. Let's it go. And it is complete. Touchdown! And Jalen threw a 34-yard strike.
We found a way to win, and we found a way to execute. We just have to be efficient with what we do.
All right, we are overrun with Eagles fans on the staff of this show. Hashtag Hembo, hashtag Cam. Both fans of the Philadelphia Eagles. You want the good news? They're 3-0. You want the bad news? They're not a lot of fun to watch. Folks are not excited, except Jeff Saturday gets frustrated when I say it. He and Dominique Foxworth good enough to hang out after we wrap up Get Up. You think the Eagles are a thing of beauty right now,
absolutely,
don't you?
You know, you're the type of fan that you can never please. You know what I mean? It's like if Aaron Rodgers would have stayed healthy and they're not scoring 40 a game, you'd have been disappointed. I mean, think about this from the Eagles fans. They are just starting. Brand new offensive coordinator coming in. Everybody's kind of learned this system. In fact, you even saw Sirianni grab the card a little bit last night and make some plays. And they had 470 yards offense this week, 430 last week, and we're complaining that it's ugly? This is insanity. They rushed for almost two bills, and this is a thing of beauty. This is what you call O-line and D-line complete domination, and that is what wins football games. Why are we going to be so excited to see them in January and February? Hurts and his receiving corps, they'll get it put together. They'll have some big plays. But even last night, he's got an hour in the pocket on that first deep over to score. I mean, it's because of protection. All of those things come off of good offensive and defensive line play. So to say it's ugly, it does piss me off. Because we have made this thing more entertainment than value. The value is we're winning and not hitting all of our numbers from an efficiency standpoint.
It's ugly. You just like ugly.
Oh, so,
like,
my gosh.
It's okay. Just be honest about you liking ugly. So the point of the matter is they set a standard that we saw last year, and we're just expecting that. We saw what they were capable of, and I think they expect that too. That's why when you hear Nick Sirianni talk, he's not making the argument that you're making. Although he could, he is also saying, yeah, it's early. We're not playing our best ball now, because he knows that they have to play better, because they're not just trying to win the division. They're just not just trying to get into the playoffs. This team has Super Bowl expectations, and ugly games like that are not what a Super Bowl team is going to look like. Maybe that's what they look like early in the year, but in order to win the Super Bowl, they're not going to be able to be that ugly. But you're right. They have the foundations. They win in the trenches every week. They have everyone outmatched, and they may have gotten the steal of the draft by getting Jalen Carter.
I mean, just a quick moment on him. He's everyone told me as we were preparing for the draft, he's the best player. We knew whatever the question marks. We know what he was, I mean, directly involved in and all that stuff. So there were legitimate question marks. But holy smoke, is he good.
Vicious. He's looking like a Pro Bowl player his first 3 weeks. And you saw the punch out, you know, turning and running to the ball, the physicality he plays with in the trenches, all of those things. Again, it makes everybody else around him better. And he's a rookie. I mean, you're three games in. It's this style that they keep replicating on both sides of the line of scrimmage that is so impressive. And again, all the rest of the flash will come because teams will now have to adjust to that. And that's when the flash plays come.
And they can have, you can have error in the back end on defense when you have a D-line like that. And
you
can have mistakes in the passing game when you have an offensive line like that. But I would like to point out that we mentioned he's in his third game. The presence of mind to, like, he was – aiming for that ball.
Absolutely.
Like that peanut punch is not normally something that you see at a third game for a defensive tackle. He's an incredible player. The intelligence on top of the athleticism and the power. He's beaten double teams.
Whew.
Adding him to that defensive line seemed unfair when it happened, and it's starting to look unfair on the field.
Facts.
Greeny and the guys are here. A bunch of different ways you can hang out with us every day. You can watch on the ESPN app. Just click on watch. Look for hashtag Greeny and enjoy. And if you miss any of the show, both hours are available anytime you want. The Greeny podcast available daily wherever you get your podcast. So it seems to me like this, Neek. The AFC is filled with all these quarterbacks. Some up, some down right now. Obviously, Tua's playing great. Mahomes looks great. And that. The NFC, you got these three teams that feel like they've separated themselves, and two of them feel like they're bullies.
Yeah.
And the third one feels like it's predicated on speed. That's an interesting matchup to me. As a general rule, the 49ers and the Eagles want to bludgeon you. The Cowboys want to play the way Jeff Saturday's old Colts teams used to do. They want to get a lead, and then they want to rush the passer. What is the more effective way, in your opinion, to win championships in football today? With physicality or with speed?
Yeah, it'd be nice to have both.
That's the question. Yeah, is both option?
I mean, I guess it depends on what.
Who has both? Give me a team in the NFL right now. Does San Francisco have both?
Yeah, it kind of feels like San Francisco has both.
They got
both. I mean, they aren't as fast as the Dolphins, but their offense has the capability of completely exploding in certain situations, even without what we – and Purdy's played well, but we understand that he's not on the Mahomes level. But that's what you really want. And they have a defense that is – good in just about all situations, and they don't have to do too many complicated schemes. It's just like, let's put our guys out there, let's play cover three, and let our D-line beat your O-line.
Right.
So that'd be pretty nice to be able to have. The Cowboys, I wouldn't consider them a finesse team, but I do think of this group, they are the – of the teams that we named, they are the team that is more tailored to a faster-paced style of game, where they want to get a lead. And that's why, like, I was a little bit trepidatious about letting Kellen Moore go, because Kellen Moore's – his point was, we're going to score as many points as we can
right.
and get up and then let them rush. We've seen that work in the first couple weeks with them against teams that were lesser opponents. They played the Cardinals, who also was a lesser opponent, and they weren't up, and it got ugly fast.
Yeah. I think the Eagles can be very explosive. I think with Brown, Smith,
that's true.
I mean, even Goddard, they got two backs who can go. They can rotate them. They have explosive players all over the field. They'll figure it out. Again, I think that's the offensive coordinator and Hurts kind of getting on the same page, and that will come to fruition. I agree with you, though. I think San Francisco from an offensive perspective in the NFC, they're the ones you're going to chase. I think they've averaged over 30 points a game the first three games, so they're putting points up. They got a good defense that's going to try to lock you down. But those three teams, the Cowboys for me, it's the issue for me with them is they're going to have to start fast in games. Like what you saw from the Cardinals and, you know, giving up 187 yards rushing in the first half, that's going to be tough for them to overcome, right? Because they're not built to kind of play like that. Like that, they want to protect the ball. They don't want to take a lot of chances. Is it possible? Yeah. I think it was an anomaly of a game, but it is a cause of concern when you see how explosive can we be. And in the red zone issue for them, it's been around all 3 weeks. They're going to have to fix that to be in this conversation.
I think when it comes down to it, like I picked the Cowboys before the season started, but I feel a little bit more confident in the Eagles, even with the 49ers in that conversation, because of the quarterback position. There will come a time you can't out-scheme everybody offensively. There's going to come a time where you need your player to make a play. And we saw last night, Jalen Hurts, it wasn't there for the team in many situations. But you know what he did? Couple times he just scrambled around and made something incredible happen.
Absolutely.
And we haven't seen that from Purdy in the biggest moments. Doesn't mean he can't do it. We haven't seen it in the biggest of moments from Dak Prescott, but I think that's what puts you over the top. Is they're going to win most trench battles, and they have a quarterback who can overcome the scheme in certain situations.
All right, Greeny and the guys, the best thing about my job is that I get to ask you guys questions that most of the rest of us would never know the answers to. So I want you to take us, in the minutes we have left here, inside three buildings right now. Let's start with the fun one.
Okay. Whew.
What's going on in the Kansas City building right now? Like, Travis Kelce is
jokes.
Dating the biggest star in the world. right? Yes. I mean, she might literally be the most famous person in the entire world. What's going on?
Absolutely. A lot of autograph materials getting dropped in his locker right now. Lots of material getting thrown in there as a joke, like he's saying. Yeah. They're going to put stuff in there. They're going to put up in the team meeting all his social media stats that have increased, yeah. all his jersey sales, all because of the Swifts that have put him on the map. And listen, we even talked about it this morning, like the whole thing going on X, like where somebody's like, you know, some girl is going, I never heard of Travis Kelce. Who is this Travis Kelce guy? And the dude's getting hot. Like, he was a baller. You know, he's a Hall of Famer, right? All that is going to start stirring in that locker room. They're going to have a lot of fun with it. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, it's a good time when you're winning.
Yes.
You're blowing teams out. You got jokes. You're right. The team meeting is going to be full of jokes at Travis's expense. They're going to be screenshots of him looking goofy standing next to Taylor Swift.
For sure.
It's going to be roasted, and there'll be videos or clips from social media about people who had no idea who he was. It's going to be a good time in that locker room.
And the best part is, you know, Andy Reid will play along. That's the best part. The best part is, you know, Andy Reid, he will fuel some of this. They will have a good time. And it'll keep the locker room loose, right? Yeah. I mean, it's early in the season. It's a long season, so let's have some fun with it.
Do you think she'll be at the game Sunday night they play the Jets?
Absolutely.
Is she going to be there?
I hope so. It'll be fun. I mean,
in New York?
It could be the most entertaining thing about the game.
Absolutely.
There's a real chance of that.
Yes, yes.
Kembo suggested yesterday that if the two football games she ever goes to in her life, she sees Chicago's offense and then the Jets' offense, that she might just decide that she doesn't understand why people like this sport and never come back.
Kembo just crushing dreams out there.
She did get to see Patrick Mahomes throw that ball. Real. So, like, she's still seeing the football best. At its purest form or at its highest form, maybe with the Jets are doing. Maybe she loves defense. So.
She actually is an Eagles fan. And by the way, they're
really
called, yes, she is.
Oh my word!
She mentioned she grew up in Pennsylvania, and there's a reference to the Eagles in one of her songs. And there was always this big question: is she talking about the football team or the band? Man. And when she played in Philly, she announced, "Anyone who knows me knows that was about the football team." And the place went.
Listen,
crazy.
How good is this? Now Jason can be all about. He can be on Travis. That's his brother. For those who don't know, all about. She's a true Eagle, so she don't even like the Chiefs. She just date you. You just part of it, bro. She don't even like it. She loves the. That is even better.
Well,
this
is how big a deal it's become. When that game starts last night, I'm pointing out Jason on the field. See the one who's going to snap the ball right now? That's Travis Kelce's brother. I'm pointing him out. Okay, so there's the fun one. Let's go inside the Jets building. I'm dead serious. I mean, it is. Everyone knows what's going on.
Yeah.
What's happening inside that building?
Oh, it is brutal. And Saleh is having to hold this locker room together. I mean, you saw the Michael Carter, you know, he and his coach had an issue. Garrett Wilson's had some sauce. So all this young talent that they have, and Breece Hall's put stuff out on his social media, all this young talent that they're building for this organization is having a hard time. And part of that is because of what expectations were going in, and then four plays into the season, this catastrophic injury to the guy who you thought was going to carry you there. So I think from the organizational standpoint, you got to hold it together, keep these guys together. These are tough days. When you show up knowing or having very little confidence that the guy who's going to lead you from an offensive standpoint can get things done, those are tough days to show up to work.
Yeah, the defensive group chat is on fire. Yeah. I will guarantee you that. And the tough thing about these situations is when you feel like you don't have much hope, when something bad happens, we all look at each other, and it's like a demoralizing feeling. And whatever resilience or whatever comeback hope that you might have, a little bit of it dies. Even though you try as hard as you can, it still feels tough. And you just look when Zach eventually throws another interception, which he will at some point this season, you're going to look at your guys on the sideline, the defense, and like, here we go again. You're going to run out there, and the intensity is going to drop a little bit. It's hard. That's why we talk about they need a spark of some kind.
Yeah.
Whether it's some sort of incredible motivational speech or a new player or something. They got to find a new philosophy, the way to go about things. They have to find something that they can say to each other when things go wrong. Because they don't got nothing.
They need to bring Ray Lewis in there just for motivational speech. Just hire him. Put him on retainer for pregame, dog. He will get him right. He'll get him defensive some speeches. Now, them dudes will be playing out of
their mind. They'll be hype until that first interception. Then they're going to look at each other.
Look, they're playing Kansas City. I mean, so the point is, you can't ask that defense. You can't say to the defense, all right, guys, you got to hold the Chiefs to 10 points this year. That's just not on the list of options.
No
one's holding them to 10 points.
Yeah.
So it's a game that they go into with –
And I hate to say it, they go into it knowing they have no chance to win. I mean literally none.
How bad is it for us as fans? Like, Jets, Chiefs, like, how excited was everybody for this game?
This is the Sunday night game. Oh, this is the game
just
they handpicked.
Wah. I mean, it's just brutal.
It's tragic.
It is
a tragedy.
Especially
all
for
right.
you, a Jets fan.
Guys, we'll see you back here tomorrow again, right?
Yes,
same
sir.
Time, same place.
You got it.
Dominique Foxworth, Jeff Saturday, the best. Thank you, guys. Coming up, the biggest company in the world just needs to be better. And I will explain why right after this on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast. This is Greeny.
I was supposed to play golf with a buddy of mine today, and something came up I'm not going to be able to make. I text, I can't make it today. I really hope you can find someone else to play. Let's do it next week. He texts me back at 7:59. What happens at 8 o'clock? I start my TV. So I just very quickly wrote back, sorry, my man, before realizing I had typed in an L and an A, auto-corrected, sorry, my lamb, old English, like a term you might use for like your sweetheart. And I haven't heard back.
This is Greeny.
Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. That's exactly right. The world's biggest company just needs to be better. What algorithm could possibly say that the likeliest thing I was trying to text there was my lamb? Why would they think that? This weekend, I had an even worse example of this, and I just need to get this off my chest.
I need you to listen carefully.
I just want you to know.
So I want to bring in Cam in particular on this, along with Bubba and Hembo, because Cam, you're the youngest in the group, and I always just assume the youngest person in any collection of people is going to be the most knowledgeable about social media and technology, okay? Because you are a technology native. You have always lived here. I am a technology immigrant. I moved here at some point in like my 30s or even my 40s was when the world became what the world is now, and so I'm still trying to figure it out. You've always lived in a world where this stuff existed. So, Cam, I'm assuming you have a better chance of explaining this to me than even Hembo or Bubba, but I'm certainly willing to throw it open to everyone. So you just heard a brief summation of what happened last week with my golf buddy, Jared. It was humiliating that Apple, that my iPhone, auto-corrected the words, sorry, my man, to sorry, my lamb. I'm getting the business from everyone at my golf club about this. I can't begin to tell you how many people are calling me now my lamb. So then this weekend it happens again, only worse. This is worse. This is the worst. And someone needs to explain it to me. Saturday night, rainy in New York, grabbing a quick dinner with friends. My buddy Mitch Truitt is having with his wife. They're coming down and we're having dinner together. And Stace and I are in the restaurant. We got a little bottle of champagne working. The four of us are going to have a little nice evening. And they're a little late. And I look down at my phone, and I have a text from him, and I'm going to read it to you verbatim. We're meeting at 6 o'clock Saturday night. This text comes at 6:04 p.m., and it says, "There in five, tragic nuts." That's what it says. And then, underneath that, in a new text, it says, "Traffic." So he's explaining to me that he was trying to say traffic,
as though I needed to explain to me that he might have been trying to say tragic nuts. He might have been trying to tell me that they're going to be delayed because of a tragedy with the nuts. Tragic nuts? What algorithm decided that the likeliest thing he's trying to type here are the words tragic nuts? Has anyone ever typed the words tragic and nuts consecutively in the history of the English language? Is that a disease of which I'm unaware? I'm sorry, Mr. Johnson, you have tragic nuts. Why in the world did this autocorrect traffic to tragic nuts? Cam, explain this to me.
Maybe Apple just hasn't realized phrases yet. Like, I mean, like, traffic nuts isn't really a phrase either.
What do you mean it's on Mitch? What should Mitch have done? How in the world could this have autocorrected to traffic tragic nuts?
I don't think it autocorrected. I think he typed tragic. Apple knows that tragic is a word. If he typed traffic with three Fs, it probably would have corrected it back to two Fs. But since he typed a word that is actually a word, it just went with it.
So you're telling me what you think is that he typed tragic nuts.
I think he typed tragic nuts. He meant to type traffic, obviously. He
corrected
himself.
All right, here's what I want you to do. Hembo, take out your phone right now.
Okay.
Because that actually does make some sense to me. He may have accidentally typed tragic nuts.
Just like you typed my lamb.
Because he might have meant to say traffic nuts, but he came out tragic. I want you to type the words to me.
Mm-hmm.
Try typing to me. Traffic nuts.
Okay.
But just spell it with one F. T-R-A-F-I-C.
Oh, I see.
And I'll tell you what comes through.
Okay.
All right? So you're texting it to me right now. And let's just see what comes through. Because tragic nuts just seems to be an inexplicable... Okay, it just came through with one F. It says traffic nuts.
Wow. Hembo doesn't even have autocorrect on.
No. Is autocorrect something you can turn off?
It is.
It
yeah.
is.
Oh, how do you do that?
Oh, man.
Get me out of this. Drive me off this picture. I can't live like this. I check my own texts anyway. I never hit send except for that one day that
except
it autocorrected
for the one
to my
where you
lamb.
Called lamb.
Otherwise, I text with punctuation. All right, try another one. Hembo, I can see the three little dots. You're texting me something else, right?
I'm just sending variations of this.
Now it says traffic nuts. Now it says tragic nuts.
What I don't understand, Greeny, is how, like, my phone's algorithm is smart enough to know that if I talk about anything 3 hours later, all of the ads will be exactly about those things.
That's right.
Oh, and you're going to get a whole bunch of ads for tragic nuts
100%.
Now.
Tragic nuts, tragic nuts, tragic nuts. 3 hours from now, my entire Instagram reel will
be filled
that.
With what?
Dying acorns.
Various things related to nuts.
There is no such thing as tragic nuts.
What I'm saying is that we have the technology that curates everything exactly as we should see it. And yet tragic nuts is an option. Like, it's like just because we can go to Mars now doesn't mean we shouldn't fix our roads. Like, we have to get, let's get autocorrect first.
That's
right?
What I mean.
Before we send people to the moon.
They just need to be better at this.
100%. This is not on Mitch.
Nope.
This is not on Mitch.
They
it's
can't
not on Mitch.
Read your mind, though. He typed a word that is a word. Tragic is a word.
But then what is the point of autocorrect if you can actually type to someone tragic nuts?
Cam, we're not asking to read his mind. We're asking to understand word sequences.
Yes.
Like, tragic nuts has never been used consecutively, like Greeny said.
Autocorrect is not for phrasing. Autocorrect is just for words.
That's the point. The Man, point is it could be. It should be.
But tragic is a
it
word.
Must be.
I have another theory.
And nuts are words.
Bubba, yeah. Here's my other theory. Anything with nuts is funny. Right? Like, you can't, anytime Fair. The word nuts is involved, it's funny. Like, I'll never forget when I worked in Bristol, there was a little area in the CAF where the cafeteria, you know, where you would get like snacks yep. to and put them in a plastic bag. When you came up, they would wave them and that's how they would charge you. And one time the guy behind the thing said to me, "Oh, Mr. Greenberg, you're gonna have to put your nuts on the scale." And
I
could not continue. Like, I said to him, "How do you expect me to go back to work now? Like, I'm supposed to host SportsCenter tonight after you just told me to put my nuts on the scale? Like, that's no human being could function through that. None." So anyway, that bothers me. And then this comes up again. So Field Yates tries to type. Justin Jefferson goes down in the game this weekend. We all probably saw Justin Jefferson, who is, I mean, he's the best receiver in football and probably the most important fantasy player in the sport. If not, he's close. And that's Field Yates's, you know, area of concern. So he's lying on the ground and you're thinking to yourself, oh no, don't let him be hurt. And then it turns out that he just had cramps. So Field Yates tries to tweet, he just had cramps. But instead he says, Justin Jefferson just had craps. And again, just craps, huge sigh of relief as he's now back on the field. No one has ever had a huge sigh of relief because they had just craps. Like, that's a pretty serious condition. And so my point is, well, I guess there are a few questions this brings up. But one of them is, would you rather have just craps or tragic nuts? Which one of those is worse?
I would rather have just craps.
Yeah, tragic nuts sounds pretty bad.
100%.
Yeah.
Tragic nuts?
Are we putting this on field? Are we putting this on field or on autocorrect? Because is just craps afraid? Is just cramps? Like, should autocorrect have known that he meant
someone cramps? Has said just craps before.
Who?
Field Yates.
No, he has not. Well, he doesn't have two little kids at home.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I think he says that all the time.
And he has a dog, so.
It's not inconceivable.
It's never
that
just
it's that.
Crap.
And maybe like in the dice game. Like, it's a, you know, what did you roll? Ah, just craps. And when we're moving
what
on.
What are you playing? It's just craps.
Also craps.
Yeah. Do you play blackjack and also play the slot machines? No, just craps. See, that's an opportunity. But no one has ever said tragic nuts.
No.
It's literally never happened.
Never.
So what did they serve on the plane? Tragic. Nuts. Nothing, right? No. Maybe Mac Jones and Sauce Gardner this week. Tragic nuts, woo-hoo. Right? I mean, that we had that. So I guess the point I'm trying to make here is that Apple just needs to get better. Yeah, I love the iPhone, and I'm all in on all this stuff. But if you can't correct, if my friend is trying to tell me that he's going to be late because of tragic nuts, we can get better than that.
Greeny's Takes.
All right, next order of business, my takes on Monday night. We had two games last night, and I'm going to give you three things you need to know about it, and then I'll let our Philadelphia fans here address what they saw from their Eagles. But here are three things you need to know about Monday Night Football's doubleheader last night.
Number three.
Joe Burrow has averaged 4.7 yards per attempt this year. Only two quarterbacks in the last 20 seasons started each of the first three games of the season and averaged fewer yards per attempt. Should we assume this is a function of his calf? What do we attribute the fact that he is averaging so little per attempt?
I mean, it has to be the calf first and foremost, but also it seems to me that the Bengals need to diversify their portfolio offensively. They're effectively running the same offense they did in each of the previous two seasons, but their quarterback isn't close to 100%, and the league has all that tape now. The only team right now in the whole league with fewer explosive pass plays than Cincinnati is New England. And this has been their calling card for the last couple years now. I'd be worried. And Vegas says you should be worried too, because right now the Bengals and the Steelers have almost identical odds to win the North. Think about that. The Bengals in the AFC title game, each of the last two seasons, are sitting right there with Pittsburgh in terms of the best chance to win the division.
Who do they? Vegas likes, I assume, Baltimore?
They have Baltimore as a $1.90, and then they have the Browns at plus +215, then Cincinnati and Pittsburgh a distant third and fourth, respectively.
All right, we'll see. I wouldn't give up on them, but so far their offense has been just craps.
Number two.
Over the last two games, Philadelphia has gained 31 first downs rushing while allowing one. That's in wins over Minnesota and Tampa. They have gained 31 rushing first downs and allowed just one first down on the ground, which leads us to...
Number one.
We can be as underwhelmed as we want, but if you're going to try and knock Jalen Hurts, you have to be tragic nuts. The Eagles are 20-1 in Jalen Hurts' last 21 regular season starts. So those are my notes coming out of last night. Let's go to the Eagles fans in the house. Hembo, your take right now on your Philadelphia Eagles.
The Eagles are brilliantly boring. The Eagles are boringly brilliant. Yesterday was a workmanlike effort offensively. It's uninspiring. The pass game has a long way to go. But the defense is special. Like, what the defense demonstrated last night is that might be the best unit of its kind in the NFC. Not in San Francisco, not Dallas, and the biggest reason for the potential improvement there is Jalen Carter, the 9th overall pick in the draft, a rookie, a place where it's very difficult to stand out, a place where historically it's even more difficult to stand out right away. He is absolutely wrecking the game. The Bucs had 3 points and 99 yards across their first eight drives, and when you look at what Jalen Carter did by himself yesterday, he forced a fumble, a ridiculous play, by the way, that led to a field goal at the end of the first half, and then created a gap for that third quarter safety. We're talking about a player in his third game playing defensive tackle that effectively produced 5 points for his offense.
Yeah.
That is rare talent. That's the best player in the draft right now. He's even money to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. I'm awfully glad he's on my team.
Yeah, he is. He was the best player in the draft in everyone's estimation. There were questions about the off the field stuff and the incident that he was involved in and everything else. There were questions about the impact on culture. There were no questions about the talent. He's like Warren Sapp like. He's that good in the middle of that defensive line, a position that I think has become incredibly valuable in the NFL. NFL. You look at Aaron Donald, they won a championship. You look at Quinnen Williams, he's an incredibly important player on his team. You look at Chris Jones, he seems to change absolutely everything in Kansas City. Cam, how do you feel about your Eagles 3 games in, 3-0, while not setting the world on fire offensively?
3-0 is 3-0. I think we just have to get used to the fact that it's not going to look exactly the same as it did last year. Jalen Hurts looks just slightly shaky, could be the new coordinators. He threw 2 picks last night. One, 2 plays later, Jalen Carter forced a fumble. One, the next play, they got a safety. So they still have things to work out. The defense and the run game is ridiculous and anchoring this team. And the next 3 games, they have the Commanders, Rams, and Jets. They should be 6-0 after that. I expect the passing game to be figured out by then, by the time they play Dolphins, Chiefs, and teams like that. So been ugly, but 3-0 is 3-0, and they still have a lot of easy games left. And then I think back half of the season, they'll turn it on.
Yeah, it's so rare that you have like 5 B-pluses or better along your offensive line. But the Eagles have that, and it's not that interesting. It's not that sexy. They've got a Hall of Fame center. They've got a Hall of Fame right tackle. This team's rushed for 460 yards in their last 2 games, and that offensive line has created 343 of those before the back was contacted. Most of that is DeAndre Swift, who the Eagles got for a 7th-round pick swap and a 2025 4th-round pick. That's why teams don't pay their running backs. If you have those players along your offensive line, and you can hand the ball in the belly of almost any back, it raises the floor of your football team and your offense so much. The Eagles are going to be 6-0, and that run game once again is going to be absurd.
Meanwhile, Bubba, I must ask you then, a week ago you were riding as high as a person could possibly ride. Your team had won its first 2 games 70-10. Now your hated rival, the Eagles, are 3-0 after your team lays an egg against Arizona.
Yeah.
People are burying the Cowboys, Rex Ryan on TV calling them out, Damian Woody on TV calling them out. How are we feeling about our Cowboys this morning, Bubba?
All right, everyone's settled down. It's just, you know, it's just one game. Like I said, Cowboys will be back. Eagles are good. Eagles are certainly good. I'm definitely could do without the Eagles getting Jalen Carter at 9. I mean, I understand obviously why he fell that much. Usually this is a move the Cowboys make. The Cowboys tend to get these players with the character, you know, issues, and they fall to the Cowboys. You know, that happens a lot of times with them. So he seems to be unbelievable. We're going to hear from Chris Canty later in the show. He said he would actually probably take Jalen Carter over Micah Parsons, I think he said earlier on Sportsmanlike this morning.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's unbelievable. I still have faith in the Cowboys. I'm not worried. The Eagles are good, but we'll match up later in the year and see. But I'm not worried.
Well, you know, the thing that I will always come back to, the Cowboys got Micah Parsons at 12. The Cowboys traded back and got Micah Parsons, and that is going to look, at some point, like it's going to be one of the great deals.
People criticize that pick. People were like, oh, this, you know, some people love, people are like, he's the best player in the draft. But a lot of people were like, well, who is this guy?
What's, yeah, because he was an off-the-ball linebacker at Penn State.
This doesn't fit. This doesn't make any sense. What are they doing this? I just remember Lewis Riddick being like, he's the best player in the draft. They got the best person.
I don't know that anyone realized he was going to be as versatile as he has been. He can do a lot of things, but he rushes the passer as well as anybody in the league.
Here's the biggest difference, Bubba, between the Eagles and the Cowboys, in my judgment. I think the Cowboys, at their best, when the Cowboys are playing downhill, that's the best team in the whole league. Because when they can dictate the tempo to you and they can, you know, set free those pass rushers, they're unstoppable. They're like the Colts 15 years ago. But when that's when that's not the case, when that doesn't happen, when you have to swim upstream, that we saw what happened in week 3. Like, the Eagles are 3-0 despite not having played an A game yet. When the Cowboys have to take a punch, they fell down. Like, how many ways can you win? That's the question I have. The Cowboys have one direct path to win, and when they play that way, they're the best team in the sport. But you're not going to be able to duplicate that 20 times in a year. The Eagles have managed through 3 games to win games 3 different ways while not playing their best. And that's why I still think the Eagles have to be considered the favorite at minimum to win that division, if not the whole conference.
Well, we have one suggestion of a move the Cowboys should, or at least could, consider making that might completely shift the balance of power. We're going to get into that, plus one team losing its most important supporter as we continue next. You're listening to Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, We know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Greeny, the podcast.
Cam, I'm fascinated by your musical choices. You're just playing Bob Dylan. I mean, this is it's a great song, but it's a very old song. It doesn't seem related to anything we're talking about. So I'm curious your thinking behind choosing that musical accompaniment to come out of our break with.
Sometimes you just want to hear one of the greatest songs of all time.
I'm with you.
Doesn't have to be related to the topic.
I'm with you.
Sometimes it is in the case of John Denver.
This is... Okay, so we'll just move past that because I want to dive into a bunch of other things. Very quickly, Bubba, did you hear, before I get to the Namath stuff, did you hear Robert Griffin III raise the idea that with the Cowboys' struggles in the red zone, obviously missing Dalton Schultz, that they should trade for the extraordinarily talented and highly underutilized Kyle Pitts from Atlanta? What do you think of that?
I did not hear that, but no, I mean, I was...
What do you mean you didn't hear it?
What were you
doing between 8 and 10 this morning when we're doing the show and you're in theory?
I mean, I'm watching most of it, but I'm in and out of the room doing different things.
I heard it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course you heard it.
All right. Everyone's settled.
Bubba, lie to me. I mean, you could have just as easily.
Say yes.
You could have just reacted to the idea. I mean, one would suggest that it is tragic.
I'm an honest man.
What do you think of the idea?
I mean, I like the idea. I mean, I was interested in drafting him when he was an option, but. Yeah, I mean, right now we do not really have a good tight end option because, they let Schultz go and they really just have a bunch of rookies or 1 or 2 year guys there. So I'm into it.
People thought that the Cowboys, I remember that, might trade up to take him. Instead, they traded back in that draft and got Micah Parsons. So obviously that worked out pretty well. But Kyle Pitts is highly underutilized.
Oh, most definitely. And last year, with Kellen Moore, parenthetically, the Cowboys had the number one red zone offense in the entire league. You know, it's funny because I was reliably informed, Bubba, that the offense would be much better this year with a different play caller who wasn't focused on scoring as many points as possible. And so far, over the last couple of days, a couple of weeks, Cowboys' red zone offense hasn't been nearly as proficient as it was a year ago. They lost the game to an Arizona Cardinals team that we think is not trying to win. Maybe that wasn't the source of the problem in Dallas. What do you think?
Well, I mean, this last game was certainly in your favor of a pro Kellen Moore situation. So, I mean, I don't really have a good rebuttal to if they should not have fired Kellen Moore based on this time.
They absolutely should have fired Kellen Moore. No. They needed to move on to a different
plan. I agree. I still think they should have, but this last weekend was not exactly Exhibit A.
That was a really smug comment by Hembo.
I'm still in favor. I think it was the right move. They needed to do something different because of all the reasons we talked about. I think it was the right move. But what happened last week and was not the Exhibit A that you put up that, Mike McCarthy is the reason things are going well.
The suggestion you're making then is that they would have been 17-0 if they had kept Kellen Moore. They're going to lose a game and have a bad day. The bottom line of it is the Cowboys needed to change something. They had been doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. They needed some significant change. It was either going to be the head coach. They decided not to. The quarterback, it would have been insane too. So the next best bet, change the play caller, change up the offensive philosophy. It made sense.
The play caller under whom, during that three-year stretch, you had the second best offense in the NFL.
And you just kept not winning games.
Not when they mattered.
That's what it's about. All right, let me get to this.
I'm sorry, what? What?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
Look, everyone in New York, I'm sure by now, has heard this time and time again. Joe Namath was on Michael Kay's show yesterday on ESPN Radio New York and went off on Zach Wilson. I feel the need to explain for people listening all across the rest of the country that Namath has historically been, not only is he the greatest legend that the Jets have ever had and the greatest player, but he has also been unwaveringly supportive through the good times and the overwhelming number of bad. He has stayed behind the team. He has had a positive message. He has tried to pump up the coaches when they're struggling. He's tried to pump up the quarterbacks when they're struggling. So for Namath to go in on Zach Wilson and by extension the organization as strongly as he did was jarring beyond the fact that he is the team legend. Here's part of what he said to Michael yesterday.
I don't believe in him. I don't believe he has a future as a good player. And I think they made a wrong choice when they drafted him. I feel that way. He has some athletic ability, but you've got to have something up here that's going on whenever you're studying, reading, playing out there. Sitting down, throwing the ball, it's ridiculous. You've got the wrong people playing and picking them.
Sitting down, to be clear, he's talking about the play, and he tweeted about it in the moment that it happened, Joe did. There's a play where Zach Wilson feels pressure, but no one is actually about to tackle him, and he just sits down. Listen, are we piling on Zach Wilson? I guess. It is not his fault that he was the second pick in the draft. He does have, from what I'm told, I've never met Zach Wilson in my entire life. I don't have anything against him personally. Clearly, a lot of other people do. He turned off a lot of people in that building, namely a lot of his teammates a year ago. But that doesn't even have anything to do with it anymore. He's incapable of playing. This is not about being bad. Every single week in the National Football League, we see people who play badly. There is a difference between someone who is bad and someone who just absolutely cannot play. And so Namath is now just pointing out what all the rest of us see. Now, Namath took it further, and he took this, like, to the organization.
He picked these people. Douglas picked these people. What's he going to do? Get rid of everybody. What are you going to start over? Now, Mr. Johnson, hey, these guys aren't picking the right players. They're not doing a good job of coaching. It's evident. I mean, you got to look and see if you have an eye about football at all. You see things are haywire. It's too crazy. They need to fix it, and that's getting rid of a lot of people and bringing new ones in.
Now, that is going a long way. That is Joe going in on an organization that has been his life and, frankly, whose mantle he has carried almost single-handedly for half a century. I mean, the Jets just got Joe Klecko and Darrell Revis into the Hall of Fame, and Curtis Martin's a Hall. I mean, there are other great players who played for the Jets, but none of them are Namath. He is all of them combined, and he is sick to death of seeing it, and he's not taking it anymore. That took me aback.
This is wild. Like, I was watching this interview live. I sent a text to the group. I just couldn't believe my ears. He was just on fire, dropping bombs. And this would be like Cal Ripken saying this about the Orioles or Ernie Banks about the Cubs or Kobe about the Lakers, and the list goes on and on. You don't see this. And I don't know if this interview was scheduled in advance, if it was, you know, calculated in any way, or if, you know, based upon what happened on Sunday, they felt it was right to put him on. I don't know. But what I do know is that he speaks for the fan base. And while it's easy for the Jets as a team to ignore the fan base, it's not that easy for the Jets to just ignore what Joe Namath says on TV and on the radio wearing a Jets
jersey.
Hoodie, right? Yeah, like, that's, yeah, he's wearing team gear. Like, they probably sent him. Like, yeah, it was a, like, I can't believe what I'm watching type situation. And I think there will be meetings at the Jets facility this week saying, can we really move forward, you know, with this guy at quarterback, given the fact that all this is happening on the outside?
Yeah, and it shouldn't, I mean, and it wouldn't have taken Joe. Look, I'm willing to cut them a bunch of slack what happened to them is not come back from a bull, right? What was the expression that that Rodgers used during that preseason game? It's uncomebackwithable. When you lose your quarterback, when you build everything around having a quarterback, and you're counting on that guy in the way that this team was, and you lose him as quickly as they did, you're no longer a Super Bowl team. All that stuff goes out the window. I'm not even thinking that way anymore. They need to hold this together, because whether everybody realizes it or not, they are at this moment a powder keg that could explode at any point. And if this thing is as ugly on Sunday night as it has the potential to be, I'm genuinely afraid of what the fallout could be. We'll continue in a moment on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.